Okay, so we're going to unpack some pretty interesting stuff today. This case, South Suburban Housing Center v. Greater South Suburban Board of Realtors, really digs into the whole intersection of fair housing, marketing practices, and the role of local government.
Yes,
It's
exactly.
pretty fascinating. We've got this affirmative marketing plan, realtors facing disciplinary actions, restrictions on those, classic for sale signs.
Right.
So our mission today, if you will, is to sort of navigate the legal waters here, figure out the core questions at play, and what it all means for fair housing in the bigger picture.
Absolutely.
So let's start maybe by setting the stage. Can you walk us through the basic facts of the case?
Of course. So we start with the South Suburban Housing Center, SSHC. A nonprofit organization, they developed what they called an affirmative marketing plan, or AMP.
Okay.
Their aim was to encourage white home buyers to consider properties in predominantly black neighborhoods in Chicago's south suburbs.
So this was a proactive move to try and really promote integration, right?
Absolutely. The idea was to broaden those housing opportunities and encourage integration.
Interesting. Now, here's where things get a little spicy. The Greater South Suburban Board of Realtors, GSSBR for short, and the big one, the National Association of Realtors, NAR, didn't seem too thrilled with this plan.
Right.
What was their reaction?
Well, they went as far as excluding SSHC's listings from their multiple listing service, the MLS.
Wow, the MLS, that's huge for any realtor trying to get those properties out there.
Exactly. And it didn't stop there. They even took disciplinary action against SSHC's realtor, a man named William Motlock.
So things were escalating quickly. And then to add even more complexity, we have these local municipalities stepping in with their own set of rules.
Yes, that's right. Several local municipalities in the area actually passed ordinances that placed restrictions on things like for sale signs and even limited how realtors could solicit homeowners in certain neighborhoods.
So like door-to-door kind of stuff. Okay, so we've got SSHC trying to encourage integration, the realtors pushing back, and local governments adding their own regulations. It's a tangled web. But what did SSHC argue legally?
Well, they argued that the realtors' actions, specifically excluding their listings and targeting their agent, combined with those municipal ordinances, were direct violations of the Fair Housing Act.
The FHA.
Yes. They also claimed their First Amendment rights, specifically their freedom of speech, were being infringed upon.
Because they couldn't advertise in certain ways.
Right.
Makes sense. And of course, we have to hear the other side. What was the realtor's response?
The realtors had a very different take. They argued that SSHC's affirmative marketing plan was actually a form of reverse discrimination.
Interesting. So we've got this real clash of perspectives, fundamental legal principles, and different interpretations of fair housing obligations. What were the specific legal questions that the court had to grapple with in this case?
This case really boils down to three main legal questions. The first was whether excluding those SSHC listings from the MLS constituted a violation of the Fair Housing Act.
Okay, so that's one big question.
The second big question the court had to consider was whether those local ordinances, the ones restricting the for sale signs and realtor solicitation, were unconstitutional under the First Amendment.
Free speech versus local regulations, always a tough one.
It is. And finally, the court had to address the Equal Protection Clause. Did either the realtor's actions or SSHE's marketing plan itself violate that clause of the 14th Amendment?
So lots to unpack there. But before we get into those big questions, you mentioned something earlier about standing, a crucial procedural point. Can you explain what happened there?
Absolutely. The court actually found that the realtors lacked standing to bring their constitutional claims against SSHC's marketing plan.
Standing, for our listeners who might not be familiar with the legal term.
Essentially, standing means that the person, or in this case, the group bringing the lawsuit, has to show they were directly harmed by the action they're challenging in court.
So they can't just sue because they dislike something. They have to show they were personally affected.
Precisely. The court found the realtors couldn't show they themselves were directly harmed by SSHG's marketing plan, so they didn't have the standing to bring those constitutional claims.
Okay, so that's an important point to keep in mind. Now, let's dive into the meat of it. What about the Fair Housing Act claim? What did the court decide about SSHC's marketing plan under the FHA?
Well, the court was very clear. SSHC's affirmative marketing plan did not violate the Fair Housing Act.
Really?
Yes. They reasoned that the plan's objective was to increase housing opportunities, to encourage white buyers to consider those predominantly black neighborhoods. It wasn't about excluding or disadvantaging any minority group.
So the intent behind the plan to promote integration was a key factor in the court's decision.
Exactly. The court actually stated, and I think this is worth noting, that the Fair Housing Act is designed to promote both equal housing opportunities and integration.
Which seems to align pretty well with what SSHC was trying to do.
Right.
But what about the realtors locking SSHC out of the MLS? Did the court find that to be a violation of the Fair Housing Act?
This is where it gets a little tricky. The court found that the realtors' decision to exclude SSHC's listings from the MLS was actually justifiable from their perspective.
How so?
They argued they were trying to avoid any actions that could be seen as discriminatory, basically acting out of concern for their own potential liability under fair housing laws.
So a kind of defensive strategy, basically.
Yes. And the court didn't find enough evidence to suggest the realtors were motivated by racial animus or intentionally targeting SSHC or the goal of integration. So they didn't consider it a violation of the FHA.
Okay, interesting. Now let's move on to those constitutional challenges, specifically the First Amendment issues and those local ordinances restricting realtor solicitation and for sale signs. Did the court uphold those restrictions?
For the most part, yes. They applied what's known as the Central Hudson Test, which is used to evaluate regulations on commercial speech.
And for those not steeped in legal jargon, commercial speech is essentially speech that proposes a commercial transaction, right?
Exactly. Think advertisements, solicitations, things like that.
Got it.
The court reasoned that local governments have a legitimate interest in protecting residential privacy and making sure neighborhoods look, well, aesthetically pleasing.
So maintaining property values, general curb appeal, that kind of thing.
Exactly. And the court found that sometimes those interests outweigh purely commercial speech concerns. In fact, they said, and I quote, "Privacy doesn't play second fiddle when speech is merely a commercial transaction."
So a homeowner's right to privacy in their home can sometimes trump commercial interests. Powerful stuff. Were there any exceptions to that, though?
There was one notable exception. Country Club Hills had imposed a permit fee for sale signs.
Oh, so you had to pay to put up a sign?
Yes. And the court struck that down because the city couldn't justify the cost of the fee in relation to their administrative expenses.
So while local governments have power, they can't just impose fees without a reasonable basis.
Right. Their regulatory authority isn't unlimited.
Okay. So finally, let's talk about the equal protection claim. I know this is a big one in these types of cases. What did the court have to say about that?
Well, when it came to SSHC's affirmative marketing plan and the Equal Protection Clause, the court found that the plan passed what's called strict scrutiny.
And strict scrutiny, for our listeners, that's the highest level of judicial review, right?
Exactly. It means the government or the group implementing the plan has to show a really compelling interest. And the measures taken have to be super narrowly tailored to achieve that interest.
A high bar to clear.
Definitely. But in this case, the court agreed that promoting integration in housing was a compelling interest, and they felt SSHC's plan was narrowly tailored to achieve that without unfairly harming white buyers or realtors.
So SSHC's plan met that high standard. What about the realtors' argument that the plan was reverse discrimination, violating the Equal Protection Clause?
Well, their claim didn't succeed. The court said the realtors couldn't show that the plan actually harmed white individuals or themselves in a concrete way. So their equal protection argument fell apart.
Makes sense. So to sum up, what are the biggest takeaways a listener should remember from South Suburban Housing Center v. Greater South Suburban Board of Realtors?
Well, I think a key takeaway is that affirmative marketing efforts like this one that are designed to promote integration are generally okay under the Fair Housing Act, as long as they don't discriminate against any protected group.
So intention matters.
It does. And another important point is that municipalities do have some authority to regulate real estate commercial speech.
To protect things like privacy and aesthetics.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But like we saw with that Country Club Hills case, they can't just impose random fees. They need to be transparent and have a good reason.
Right. A reasonable basis. And of course, never forget the concept of standing. It plays a huge role in whether a case can even move forward.
Absolutely. This case really highlights the balance courts try to strike between combating segregation, protecting free speech, and respecting local governance.
It's fascinating, isn't it? This deep dive into South Suburban Housing Center v. Greater South Suburban Board of Realtors really shows just how complicated it is to achieve fair housing and integration in practice.
Yeah.
It raises some huge questions. How do we tackle historical segregation without creating new forms of discrimination? It's a tough question.
Very much so.
The courts focus on the intent and the actual impact of affirmative marketing plans and those limits on how municipalities can regulate commercial speech. They give us a framework. But actually applying those principles is a whole other challenge. And that's something for all of us to think about. What other scenarios could push these legal boundaries even further? What happens when new technologies, new ways of marketing and communicating enter the picture? How do we ensure those fundamental fair housing principles keep pace with a rapidly changing world? That's something I hope our listeners will keep pondering as they continue their legal journey. It's an ongoing conversation, and cases like this remind us just how important it is to keep that conversation going.